a theme that I am using as I visit the different parts of the diocese for reflection. So it maybe ties things together so that there's a kind of a common word that's being able to be proclaimed as I visit different parishes and different regions, is a reflection on the periphery. I'm sure many have heard this, if not all, here, this word, the periphery. It's a word that Pope Francis has used, and it's one that was very prominent very early on in his pontificate, a reflection on the meaning of that and what it means and implies for us as followers of Christ, as members of his church, how we should be related or how we should interact with that periphery. As many of you know, this word was first used, in a sense, by Pope Francis before he was Pope. After Pope Benedict had resigned, and in that period of time when there was a reflection on the state of the Church and the direction it's going in, all the cardinals gathered in Rome for this consistory, this gathering before the conclave, and they were all invited to speak together and each one offer some reflections on the state of the Church and where it was heading and what were the needs, the particular needs that they should be attentive to and that a new pope should be attentive to. And in those reflections, Pope Francis said this. He said, there is a tension between the center and the periphery, a tension between the two. We must get out of ourselves and go towards the periphery. We must avoid the spiritual disease of the Church that can become self-absorbed. When this happens, the Church itself becomes sick. Between a church that goes to the street and gets into an accident and a church that is sick with self-referentiality, I have no doubts in preferring the first. In other words, that kind of church that goes out and going to the periphery and since takes some risks. Right? So that was his reflection beforehand about that. So I've been thinking about that that word a lot over these certainly these years, and what does it mean in terms of for any of us. I mean, as a bishop, I've worked for many years in a place called the Pastoral Center, right, the center. And, you know, the life of a bishop is one that, of its nature, there's a lot that happens for the whole church that kind of circles around and sometimes touches the bishop and then goes back out again. So there's a lot that happens in terms of oversight, administration, kind of the guidance for the teaching of the church, the guidance for the sacramental life of the church, the guidance for its governance and its charitable works, all kind of associated with that office, that role, because of the responsibility for oversight, to making sure that it's all coordinated, that it's all kind of being carried out in a way that's in communion with not only one another within a local church, but with all the manifestations of the church throughout the world, with all the brother bishops in their own local churches and the universal church with our Holy Father. So there's that kind of sense that we are at the center. Richmond's very much at the center geographically of the diocese, right, in terms of the offices there. And so much of my work has been kind of from that center. So this is a challenge to me as a bishop to go out to the periphery, right? What does that mean? And how do I do it even though my work for a long time, for 10 years, was in a sense tied to a desk, tied towards administrative work within a diocese, but of its nature because that freed up the ordinary, the archbishop, Cardinal World, to be able to go out and to visit parishes and do other kinds of work. So reflecting on that a bit, I think together we can do that. And I think these readings also help us reflect upon it as well. And what does it mean for us? Okay, so I'll first speak a little bit about my own kind of circumstances and then what maybe how it applies to everyone here. As I go out to the diocese, in a sense, that is my periphery. Right, going out to the different regions. Each one of us has a different periphery, you know, a different place that is contrary to where the center is. Where do we find our kind of our comfort zone? Where is it that we're most familiar? The periphery is that place that's unfamiliar, that's more risky, that's kind of beyond our practical experience. And so there is anxiety associated with it when we think about going out to that kind of those far reaches. Myself, you know, I've had most of my life in terms of priesthood and service was in the Washington area. That was the center. That's where my family was. That's where I went to school. I went as far away as Mount St. Mary's, just an hour and a half away, so to go to school, right, and to seminary and University of Maryland. So I have to be careful about saying go Terps in the with the Cavaliers so close by. So anyway, that was pretty much my center. And so when the Holy Father calls and asks that I would go serve in the Diocese of Richmond, which I am joyful and happy to do, it is going beyond that kind of range of familiarity. There are new things I might encounter that I might not be kind of ready for, or that there's a kind of little anxiety about it. I'm sure as I go about and I hear about the life of the different parishes and the manifestation of the faith here, the challenges that some face, and also the great opportunities that are expressed and the great joy in these communities, that I'm going to find different things. I'll find in some places challenges and difficulties that don't have a solution, that as people of God, we're just called to carry them in love, that there's no easy solution to that, you know, whatever it might be, a challenge or difficulty. Sometimes in our family life, we know that. There are some broken relationships that we know just in this life will not likely be healed. And we have to carry that burden as we walk along out of love, you know, that in the hopes and the prayers that somehow or other God can reconcile those circumstances in a way that we can anticipate, continue to kind of labor with that and bear that burden out of love for one another and those around us. I'm sure there's some challenges that will be presented that will be easily responded to, that there's a nice, easy package solution that might be able to be found, and then it will lift the burden from an individual who's worried about whatever that challenge is, or the individuals, or the parish, right, that can be easily kind of responded to. And I'm sure, too, I'm going to find in many places, as I said, I think a beautiful, rich manifestation of the faith. As we process in here, the vibrancy of your music and of your celebration and of your voices gathered together is just a beautiful manifestation of faith and of joy in proclamation of the faith. Very much tied in with this first reading, the first reading of David dancing with abandon before the Ark of the Covenant as he enters in to his city, the city of David, in order to have that place for the Ark settled. Right? So this for me, in terms of, is a new opportunity. There are new things, new encounters, and there are aspects of the life which will be maybe a cause for anxiety or worry. And there's always that thought in the back of the head that is, well, what if I confront something that's going to be too much, too great, a burden that will be unable to be met in a good and effective way? That kind of creates that sense of maybe distress. And so there's a longing for the center. There's a longing for kind of going back, pulling in. Pope Francis says in these words that, you know, there is a sickness if that happens. I mean, there's a kind of, he says there's a tension, but I think it's an appropriate natural tension between being centered in our faith, kind of rooted in that faith, having a firm foundation that we can depend on. I mean, we need all of that. But that's so we can then spring forward towards the future, towards those challenges which are just beyond our experience, be able to encounter them and incorporate them in terms of our larger experience. That's where the growth in the spiritual life occurs. I was saying earlier at the campus of University of Virginia that UVA, that it's kind of the ebb and flow of the spiritual life, the breathing out and breathing in. It's kind of being centered and going out to the periphery and coming back again and going out again. That it's a way that we are called to grow in the spiritual life, that we're kind of taking those risks of faith that are done out of love, kind of motivated out of love. If we're being motivated out of fear, kind of holding on to that center because we're afraid of losing what we have, then that, in a sense, is not a motivation that's conducive to faith and growth in the spiritual life. Right? It's like closed in on itself, and that's what Pope Francis says, that the church becomes sick, self-absorbed, self-referential, rather than kind of having its orientation, having our own thoughts and minds towards what are the peripheries that we experience in our lives. And each one of us, I said, is kind of, it's different. We talk a bit about these readings. First reading, again, David, he's consolidating the kingdom. He's bringing together the governance, the political kind of structures, as well as the religious structures there in the city of David. And there's a rejoicing in that. He's finding comfort in that. Things are coming together after a time of disturbance, of chaos, of war, right? And he's rejoicing the fact that now things are coming together and that now they can make progress. So we need to be centered. We need to have that kind of continuity in our lives, liturgically, spiritually, culturally, communally, in order that we can kind of know what the next step is. so that we can have that certainty of and confidence that enables us to then reach out to those new situations. So we need the center at the same time, but it can't be the only thing. Otherwise, we get closed in. And we have to be able to always be looking out for where are the needs? Where are the people who are the most distant? Where are the things that are the most vulnerable or that need the most attention? What are those things that are kind of beyond our scope of experience that we can benefit from if we go out there towards that kind of unknown? That God has, you know, in faith, if we go out in faith, has something great and beautiful then to present to us. So David's kind of bringing things in the center, but we know that later in the history of God's people, that God's people lose track of that. They rejoice so much in the center that they no longer then have that attentiveness to God's will and to being to be able to kind of take the risk of faith by depending on Him, by relying on His providential care. They try to rely on themselves. And so the kingdom starts to collapse. They go into exile because they're not thinking in terms of the larger kind of presence of God and following in his ways. The gospel. Jesus is a very short gospel. He is in the midst of the community. It's gathered around listening to his words. And outside, his mother, and they say his brothers and sisters, that's family members, extended family in terms of the terms in the scriptures. And they're out there, they want to maybe visit with him. Had that experience after the massive installation. And my family were all gathered, and they want to have times for photographs and so forth, kind of be close. And yet there was a whole group of people waiting over in the hall, the Altria Theater, waiting for a reception. So how do I kind of get that done and move off to the reception? Jesus is there, and what does he say? He says he receives word that they're out there. They'd like to maybe meet him or talk with him. He says, well, who are my mother and brothers and sisters? They're those who are gathered around who follow the will of the Father, who follow God, who are attentive to God's will in their lives. They're the ones who are, in a sense, closest to him. So what he does is he widens the scope of thinking about what a family is, right? Much more than that blood relation, which are certainly it's important and it's for us to be able to grow and mature. We need that surety, that confidence, that comfort that comes from those who are close to us in our family. But then he wants us as a church to go out beyond that, that there are other brothers and sisters who are related to us in faith that we need to be attentive to, and they are as much our brothers and sisters as they are all children of God, and that we can't neglect them, in a sense, in a preferential way. Right? We have to be attentive to that. So he's speaking as well about the periphery, kind of widening our perspective and our reflection in our lives about where our mindset, where our reflection should be. So each of us should maybe in the midst of this kind of ask ourselves and reflect a bit, well, what is our periphery? What is it? There is that kind of anxiety if we go out that we might lose what we have, right? Lose that kind of closeness and those who are closest to us. Jesus says elsewhere in the gospel, he says that no one has left father and mother and brother and sister without gaining many more, right? If they leave for the sake of the gospel, without gaining many more brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers. And he says eternal life to boot, right, on top of that, in that scripture passage. So that there's a confidence that whatever we, in a sense, let go of, we'll receive back in a greater way. In the Eucharist, in the Mass, right, we have these gifts of bread and wine that are brought forward that represent all of our labor, our lives, our activity, all that we are, brought up in procession. Simple elements, bread and wine, very familiar in terms of food and drink, and in every society, every culture. And they're brought up, and through the power of the Holy Spirit and the prayer of the priest around the altar, they are transformed into the body and blood of our Lord and given back to us so that we have not only the bread and wine that was originally given and offered, but now it is transformed into the body and blood that sustains us not only physically but now spiritually, that integrates us into the community of the faith and assists us in our path towards holiness and eternal life. So something more magnificent, something much greater than just bread and wine is there we'll receive back. And yet it's still there, right? It's still there. The matter transformed, all right? It's changed. So there's this beauty to God, he assures us that if we're willing to go out to that periphery, that whatever we've received and had in that place that's a source of our own center and confidence will be able to be carried with us, but somehow or another transformed to something greater, something more beautiful, something more magnificent. What is our periphery? You know, we can think about it in terms of parish life. You know, what we had this beautiful first reading in Spanish, right? Sometimes, say, I really don't know the Spanish language. I studied it way back in high school. I should have. I missed many opportunities. It was kind of a foolish thing because here as a bishop now we have a large community of the Spanish-speaking community around us. And so it makes it harder to communicate, harder to kind of connect and to enter into that kind of communion. And so when I hear the language, there's this always this twinge here. So a missed opportunity that I don't fully understand, so I can't fully enter into that experience. And yet they are very much a part of the life of this church, of this community. And so going to that periphery, kind of going and allowing for the language to be expressed and manifested and to be spoken is a way of us kind of letting go a little bit of what's comfort for us in order to be able to be attentive to those who are on the periphery. In that case, kind of the relationship of the tension between the center and the periphery that Pope Francis speaks about. For some, it might be, a pastor that was transferred at some point, right? And that pastor was just magnificent in terms of your own experience and the pastoral care you offered. And there's this kind of sense that, well, the next guy just doesn't quite measure up, right? Just didn't quite do the same thing, right? And, you know, what are we called to in that case? You know, that's going out to periphery to establish that new relationship with that new pastor in such a way that something else can flower from it, that we don't lose the past. It's all part of our experience and our memory and our rejoicing, and yet at the same time, something new and more magnificent can come and be transformed in the midst of our experience by kind of going out, taking that risk of getting away from that comfort zone. It could be the opposite. It could be someone we're struggling with, right, that was very difficult to deal with. And yet, how do we kind of immerse ourselves more fully in trying to cultivate that relationship as well? There are many other examples that all of us, I'm sure, could point to in terms of our own lives. What is it, where is it we find our center and our comfort? And where is it that we're the most kind of uncomfortable in terms of going out? Now, in making that decision, the spiritual life, again, the motive is very important. If we are motivated by fear and whatever, whether we're going out or going in, it's not really the right motive, right? It's not the motive that comes from God, who is love. The motive really needs to be that love, that desire for sacrificial love. What's going to kind of best, in a sense, express a communion with those around me and best be self-gift to that person who might be in need or in some other kind of circumstance. That kind of should be the authentic motive in terms of love that we're all called to express and manifest as we kind of reflect upon what is that periphery, going to the kind of the far ask the things that are less familiar and less comfortable. We need both, right? As I said, both the center and the periphery, that breathing in and breathing out, in order to have the fullness of life and the fullness of the expression of the life of the church. There needs to be that stability, that continuity in terms of worship and praise, and those things that are traditions that we hand on from one generation to the next, so that we know where we're coming from and we know where we're going. At the same time, there are new circumstances that we experience that we can't anticipate. And the only way that we can meet those and integrate that unknown into our experience is to make that sacrificial love, that expression of sacrificial love. It's really, in essence, the Paschal mystery. It's the dying to self to rise with Christ to new life. And that is the whole of the Christian life. Baptism, we die with Christ and rise with him symbolically with the pouring of water. We enter, we're buried under the water and come out again in new life, born again in the life of the Spirit. In the Eucharist, as I said, that there is this the representation of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross that is available to us to, again, for the forgiveness of sins and for the growth in the spiritual life and the fullness of life and love to be experienced. We have such treasures in this church, such beauty in our worship and our celebration, such magnificence in our teaching, such greatness in our communal life and the gathering of the people together. Such richness, such a banquet before us in each occasion, that we should not fear kind of going from that center and being grounded in our faith and then reaching out in hope towards the love of God and expressing that love in the periphery. We ask the Lord today, to whatever that periphery is, to assist us with the power of the Spirit so that we might not only be aware of it, but always in the motive of love to reach out, because we know in that going out that we'll have received back something greater, something more magnificent, the life of God and the beauty, the wonder of the presence of the Holy Spirit.